Thank you for the welcome. Thank you for being so good to us. The next time we go to another church, we'll be in culture shock. It just won't be the same. In fact, I wouldn't mind staying another week, Pastor. It's been wonderful here. The food has been great, and we had no problem swallowing it. Where he leads us, we will follow, and what he feeds us, we will swallow. Well, it's been very good this week, and even today. If I don't make it through, I'll make it through. My name is Robert Stevenson, my wife Nalani. She's from Hawaii, and she's from Hawaii. I guess I'm from Hawaii also. We sold our house a year and a half ago, we sold our house, and we wanted to be free to serve the Lord and get our bills paid off, and we bought a small RV, and we was invited to Guatemala. I'd like to pray for a second. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to be here. I pray you would help me at this time, help me to speak clearly and to the point. And Father, I pray that you would use us to be a blessing to this church and continue the work that you've called us to do. I thank you for it all and ask for your help tonight in Christ, I pray. Amen. By the grace of God, we are what we are. And I was not raised in a Christian home. And I got saved at a later date in my time, and when I got saved, I was around 25 years old, and I was saved in California in Little Baptist Church. A young man that I was working with hanging sheetrock. If I don't know if you know what that is, I was hanging sheetrock in California. Like a wild man, and this man asked for a ride to work, and he rode with me. His car wasn't working. I think it was maybe just a story, but he brought his Bible with him, and he read his Bible in the morning all the way to work, and it was very quiet, and that was okay. So, but coming home, he was reading out loud. And the next day was Tuesday. He preached to me all the way to work. By Wednesday night, he had convinced me I should go to church with him on Wednesday night. And he totally convinced me, or the Holy Spirit convinced me. I went, and I got saved. I heard the gospel. In fact, I can't ever remember anybody witnessing to me before that. And so... In the years following, I was saved when I met my wife. We went to a church in Kauai, and we was very faithful. Every time the church doors opened, we was there. I had a relationship with the Lord, but you know what? I wasn't committed to the Lord. My heart. He was not on my throne of my heart. And I pray that maybe somebody in this church might be in the same condition, that they might realize that it takes more to have a relationship with the Lord and be right with God. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. There's no in-between. You're either right with God or you're wrong with God. And if you're not serving the God, you're serving the world. And I realized for many years that I was a hypocrite. And I would cut the grass. I would go to church. I would sing the songs. But back in 1990, the Lord convicted me of being a hypocrite. And I was 55 at the time. 19 years ago. I'm 73 Saturday. Yeah, that's why I say too. Oh. Oh my. But the Lord convicted me. I was singing songs in church that I was going to follow Jesus, and it's just like Jesus would say, "When? I'm 55. Well, I was ready to settle down and live happily ever after." And the Lord, through His Word, He turned me around. He took me behind a woodshed, as you might speak, and He called me a hypocrite. He says, "You don't have much time left." And I came up with all kinds of excuses, and He just quenched them. He just said, "Be quiet and listen." And the Word of God convicted me. And I surrendered to serve the Lord whatever years I had left. And He's given me a lot of years. If you look at our board out there, I don't like to brag, but I'm going to brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's helped us through almost 19 years of service for Him, building churches and homes and schools for missionary pastors, Independent Baptist Church, King James believers, and He's kept us going. We stand on the Word of God, and as long as I stand on the Word of God, I will not fall. It's not time for me to preach yet. This is supposed to be my testimony. I'm sorry for me to get off my notes. And back in 1990, I was 55 years old. I went to Ambassador Baptist College at 55. Now, think of this. You're looking at a miracle. I was a seventh grade dropout. Then many years ago at 55, I'm sitting in the back of the classroom at Ambassador Baptist College. Everybody thought I was a professor spying on them. I wasn't. I was having a migraine headache considering how I was going to get through 1 year taking 16 credits. It was a migraine headache and a miracle, but God got me through it. And I learned how loving God we have, how Jesus Christ saved my soul, and He gave me the power, the strength to go through 1 year of college. And as soon as we went out of college, I graduated the 1 year. I heard about this missionary in Yap, Micronesia, that needed a builder to build his church. Had enough money for material, but he needed someone like me. And he thought I was crazy. You might think I'm crazy too, but the Lord took me there, and we built the church in 6 months. Nalani did the painting, and I did much of the concrete work. And the Lord just showed us that if we walk by faith and keep searching His Word, that He would supply all of our needs. We took Matthew 6:33 at heart, and He did supply all of our needs. In fact, more than our needs. I'm 30 pounds overweight. And maybe some of you are also. So it looks like you handle 6:33 too. And Romans 8:28. Hallelujah. I praise the Lord for His Word. And we stand behind His Word. And the verse that really took care of this New Jersey Piney was Romans 12:1-2, when Paul says, "I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." I'm 55. That's the most reasonable thing I can do. I mean, I'm halfway to the grave, one foot on the banana peel and the other one in the grave. And verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by..." Here I am preaching. I'm supposed to be in my testimony. I'm sorry. "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I want you to remember those two words, being transformed, or you conform to this world. And I was at 55, and so are you, most of you. There's only a few people in this... let me get back to my note. Let me finish my testimony. So So we're serving the Lord. We went into the mission field 3 years with no support. I would get a job, make enough money for a plane ticket, and God would call me up through some pastor on the telephone. It sounded like God, but it was a pastor, and he needed help. We would go help him, and we'd come back, and I'd get another job and make enough money for. So we was 3 years without any support. Then we went for support, and that's a amazing grace. We went for support for 6 months, and we said, forget that. We just went back to work, and over the period of years, through my Social Security check and a few churches supporting us, I'm still 30 pounds overweight. The Lord knows exactly how to take care of us and keep us going. And back a year and a half ago, a pastor from California, Pastor Talaveras from San Jose, California, a Spanish pastor, called me and said, Brother Bob, would you go to Guatemala on a survey trip and see one of our preacher boys that has a church down there? And Nalani stayed home. I went down on a survey trip and for a week, and I stayed with him for 1 week. And he had about 50 to 60 people meeting in his big family room every Sunday, very crowded. I fell in love with his family. He could speak English. He had gotten saved in California. He went to Bible school in Puerto Rico, I believe, and he went back to Guatemala, to his home village in the mountains, started this church, and everybody knew him. And the church just expanded, and I was there, and I knew the Lord didn't send me on a vacation. And right away, I started drawing plans and a schedule. And Pastor Avendano, Giovanni Avendano, said to me, Brother Bob, we don't have any money. We have that piece of property, but we don't have any money. And I found out he had 10 churches in California that supported him. Before he left California, he spent 1 month with 10 different churches, and he got to know the people, and they support him. Well, last summer, Nalani and I, we got this car, and we drove around, and I preached to those people, and I begged them. I know you're not supposed to beg, but I begged them to help us to build a church. I said, you have a missionary in Guatemala. We're going to go down and build them a church, Lord willing. And the Lord told me to come ask you for help. And please help us for 5 months. And brothers and sisters, for 5 months, we got just enough to pay for the material and the labor. We hired some masons and laborers, local people there, for 35 hours a week. How would you like to work for less than a dollar an hour? Mixing concrete and laying block. You know, when you go to the mission field, you got to be very flexible. And Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You know what? Those people there, they don't have to be transformed. They never got conformed to this world. Philippines, Guyana, South America, Mexico, Guatemala. I was amazed every time we go there to help those pastors. When we come back to the States, I get culture shock. After living with the Christians there, I come back to California or Hawaii or come back home. It makes me sick. Now, the only one that know what I'm talking about is those from the Philippines or from the Mexico or a missionary from Guatemala. Where are you at, Noel? Where's Noel? People like that know. Is there any Filipinos here? No Filipinos. Anybody from Mexico here? Then you don't know what I'm talking about. You will not know until you go there I'm not speaking. Oh, I'm supposed to be on my notes. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to be on my testimony. But anyway, those people, they don't have to be transformed. They've never been conformed to this world. Their world is no TV, no car, maybe no electricity, maybe no water every day. And you want to have an experience, go home and turn off your electric and water for a month. Huh? Then you might find out what being conformed and what being transformed is. You have no idea. And if you say you do, I'll say, fool, you do not know what you're talking about. I think pastors and deacons should take a little trip once a year and go visit some missionaries in the mission field to see what life is about. Let me finish my testimony. Wait until I start preaching. But anyway, we went down there. We sold our house, paid off our bills, bought an RV. October last year, almost to the date, we drove from Arizona, Texas, all the way through McAllen, Texas, all the way through Mexico. Now, that's amazing grace, getting through Mexico with an RV. But we made it, and we got to Guatemala. We started the project, and for every month, for 5 months, a check came from the mission board where there's 10 churches have sent in. We paid for the material and the labor and everything got paid. We, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and us, and a few churches built that church, and it's completed. It's not half done, it's completed. And I give all the praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we finish, the pastor says there's a preacher's camp in the mountains of Guatemala called the Eagle's Nest for 3 days. Evangelists from Australia came, Gilbert Anger, and he preached to us. And I met 75 independent Baptist preachers. All of them had some kind of church in their backyard, living room, front porch, wherever, under somebody's house. They had a church going. They all wanted me to help them. They heard that I was a builder. But they don't have a mission board. They don't have 10 churches supporting them. They don't have nothing. Some of them don't even have a car. I know a couple of them had a bicycle. Can you imagine your pastor riding around on a bicycle? Huh? You know why you can't imagine it? Because you've been conformed to this world. You need transforming. Here I'm preaching again. Okay, I want to show some slides. Not yet. Oh. I want to show some slides, and when I went to a preacher's conference, I met all these pastors. One of them needed a ride back to Mexico. I said, Pastor, we're going to drive back to the United States, God forbid, and if you want a ride, I'll give you a ride back to his church in Mexico, Tapachula, Mexico. We gave him a ride in our RV, and we fellowshiped with him on a Sunday. Saturday night when we got there, his little house was on a hill. The RV was parked on a hill, and the refrigerator didn't work because the refrigerator's got to be upright. I said to Nalani, I said, take some meat in our little refrigerator into the pastor's house. He had a refrigerator. I said, and it won't spoil. She came out and she said, brother, she said, honey, she says, the refrigerator was empty. In a couple of days, we fellowshiped with him, and I fell in love with this young preacher. He couldn't speak a word of English, except he could sing one song. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus, Lord of all. Glory to the King of God. I don't know the song, but he knew that in English. And every time he wanted to answer me, he would sing this song to me. And I fell in love with him, and I promised God I would go back and help him. And I'm going to go back. He's one of many that needs help. They can't get support. Where are they going to get a support? They don't have a mission board. They don't have churches that support them. They don't have 10 churches in California. They have zero, except they have the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a fire. You know, in Matthew, I'll preach later. Let's show these slides. These slides was taken in Guatemala, the job that we just completed in Guatemala, 5 months that the Lord seen through. The song is by the music and the singing is Spanish. They're from the pastor in Tapachula, Mexico, that I'm going to go back and help him out. And the music you'll hear will be, you can see Brother Chase, and he might help you out with some of that music. And we plan to go back and do some work for this pastor. And so the music is from Mexico, the project that we just completed. Let's show this. Thank you.
Today you walked another mile down the pathway that's leading you home. And you met many travelers along the way, both strangers and friends that you've known. And often you stopped to talk for a while with those you met on the way. But friend, did you mention the name of the Lord with someone you talked with today? Did you tell someone about Jesus? Did you mention his name to a friend? Did you warn the stranger who's lost and undone that death is the wages of sin? Did you show them the plan of salvation? Did you tell them he's coming again? Did you talk about Jesus or the things of this world? Did you tell someone about him? Some traveler that you may meet today may walk down this pathway no more. Oh, this could be the final mile before he journeys home. How sweet it would be to meet him again in heaven one glad day and hear him say, I made it through because he told me about Jesus that day. Will you tell someone about Jesus? Will you mention his name to a friend? Or will you warn the stranger who's lost and undone that death is the wages of sin? Will you show them the plan of salvation? Will you tell them he's coming again? Will you talk about Jesus or the things of this world? Will you tell someone about him?
Okay, you ready? Write these references down because we don't have time to look them up. And look them up on your own time. Hebrews 1:7, the Word of God says that when God ordained your pastor, he made him a flame of fire. And Jeremiah 23:29, it says, the Word of God says, isn't the Word of God like a fire and like a hammer that breaketh rock into pieces? It refers to the Word of God as a fire. In John 1:1, in the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Amen? Write that down. Check me out. I'm probably got twisted around a little bit, but it's in there. So what I'm trying to say is the Word is like a fire. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist says, everyone that comes after you, after me, that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Everybody say fire. If you have this book here, you should have a book of fire. And if you add it to your heart, not your head, but if you add it to your heart, you keep that fire going. And if you don't, you let that fire go out. Since I've been here for a few days, I notice there's a little fire coming out of this pulpit. I enjoyed that message last night and the message yesterday and the message this morning. I know that there's fire in God's Word. And if you open this book and allow the fire to catch on to you, you might notice a difference in you. When I was in these poor countries, the Philippines and Guyana, South America, and Guatemala, Mexico. And when I was in these poor countries and some of the islands in the Pacific where people are poor, all they have is a fire. And they don't have supporting churches. They can't build. They don't have a car. Many of them has, like I said before, that many of them have a bicycle. Many of them walk. We don't know how rich we are. We don't know how spoiled we are. We don't know how conformed to this world we are until you shut off your electric for a month and your water. And then you might realize, boy, I'm in bad shape. When we come back from poor countries, I think, do I belong here or do I belong there? My heart is where my heart is where my home is where my heart is, and I just left my heart. I left my heart with the poor people because they're not like me. They're not like this world here. We are conformed to this world. We're dirty, rotten, stinking, spoiled. Excuse my language, but we're spoiled. And only those in this room that has been to a country and has lived with these poor people, only you know. And don't tell me you can imagine. You cannot imagine. Okay, now I'm ready to preach now. Okay. I think we need a wake-up call. Turn to Acts 9, 4 and 6, please. Acts 9, 4 to 6. Acts 9, 4 to 6. And we know who this is. This is the conversion of Saul. And he fell, and verse 4, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted, and it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto them, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told unto you that what you must do. He trembled. What I'm trying to say is, maybe we need to be knocked off of our horse. Maybe we need to see that light, the light of Jesus, so powerful, we get knocked off of our horse, and we get obedient, and we might, wouldn't hurt if we did a little bit of trembling. Without wasting too much time, I'd like to say we need a we have too much responsibility, too much transportation, and we're missing our family needs. You know, the Bible says any man that does not provide for his family is worse than a infidel. That doesn't just mean financially. That means spiritually, mentally, socially, every way. It means if you don't provide for your family, fathers, for all those things, those needs, we're worse than an infidel. And I'm not only preaching to you, but I'm preaching to myself. I look at my past mistakes, and I might be able to help someone here tonight. Not me, but the Lord. What I'm saying is, we need a wake-up call. Paul got it. Turn to Isaiah 59, please. You all must be faster than me. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Read along with me. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he won't even hear you. For your hands have defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. This is just a little verse, but it tells us with sin in our lives, we have no communication with God. Turn one page back, 57:15, Isaiah 57:15. Now bear with me. Don't anybody fall asleep with me, please. For thus said the Lord, the lofty one that inhabited in eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and a holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. What about if you don't have a contrite heart? I guess the Lord is not going to revive us. Don't stop there. Turn ahead a couple pages, Isaiah 66, 2. Isaiah 66, 2. And let's read 66, 1, one of my favorite verses. And the Lord has said to me, Thus said the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. And where is the house that you built unto me? And where is a place of rest? I built a house in Guatemala. The Lord took me there, and we built a house in Guatemala, a place of his rest, a house for him. Each man in here should build a house for your family, a place where the Lord can reside. But look at verse 2. For all those things have my hands made, and all those things have been, said the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and a contrite spirit, and trembled at my word. You think when Paul fell off of his horse, you think he had a contrite heart and a broken spirit? Yeah, but you better believe it. Do you think when we had September 11th, when we had a lot of people in New York City that lost their relatives or friends or loved ones in that tragedy that we had there, you think we had anybody with a contrite heart? But you know what? I think the Lord wants us this way. Didn't he say it's better to be in a house of mourning than a house of laughter? The house of mourning brings people unto repentance and unto a heart where the Lord can speak to us. That's two times we've read it. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such be of a contrite spirit. What if you don't have a broken heart, and saveth such as be a contrite spirit? Three times we've read it already. Maybe our attitude, our altitude, or whatever you want to call it, is maybe a little bit too high. And maybe our spirit in the United States is way up there. Maybe, I don't know if it's the money, I don't know if it's the TV. By the way, you know, all these poor places, they may not have a kitchen sink or a washing machine. The women might not have a kitchen. All she might have is a gas stove. Her sink is outside with a scrub board. That's her laundry machine. You think they have a contrite heart and broken spirit? How do you like to wash diapers every morning out there, Brother Chase? No way, Jose. I don't even think a rich person has a washing machine in these poor countries. If there's a rich person, I think they hire the next door neighbor woman to come over and scrub the clothes. These people are without. They're poor, 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 poor. And the Word of God burned a hole in my heart and my soul. And if I don't get support to go back and help these pastors, Nalani and I, we have a little piece of property. The Lord and I and Nalani have a little piece of property there in Hawaii. And if we don't get support, I pray that he'll sell it. And if he sells that piece of property, I can go down there and build about six churches. But I think maybe the Lord wants you to share this blessing. Amen. That wasn't in my notes. How did I get there? Okay, that's four times. How about Psalm 51? We should know Psalm 51. I'm sure David knows it. 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and broken with a contrite heart. And God, O God, thou wilt not despise. It's very simple. How many times now? Six times? Six times he said that. When you was a youngster, how many times your mother said to you, how many times I got to tell you, clean that bedroom up? Well, how many times does the Lord have to tell us what kind of spirit we need? So the Spirit, I'm not talking about, yes, I am talking about this church. I'm talking about America. Do you think Paul had a contrite heart when he got in Psalm 51 and a broken spirit? Do you think Paul, when he fell off the horse, you think he trembled? Yes, the Bible said he trembled. I think we need to tremble. I think we should get real. If it's a combination of the credit cards, the TV set, the Hollywood, and by the way, a house in Guatemala or Mexico may not have no kitchen, cabinets, may not have no automobile in the yard, but they probably might have a TV set with no cable. And guess what filth is coming from Hollywood? Am I right? Missionaries? Yes. So what they're getting is not a Bible study. They're getting these videos, and they're getting the tattoos. They're getting their minds warped, and they're looking at all that filth. We got to have revival. We have to have revival, and we got to understand that we need to be transformed. The only way we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds and applying it not to our head, but applying it to the heart. You know, I personally think it's better to take one or two verses and apply them to your heart and walk in them and doing them than reading the whole Bible through and retaining nothing. Every time I read a lot, right after I read, and I ask the Lord to help me, I said, what have I learned? I might know the story, but has it done me any good? It's like a story. I might remember the story, but if you don't apply it to your heart and start doing it, like James 1:22, be a doer of the word, you've lost it. What good does it do to memorize? What good does it do to read? Jesus wept. We know how. How are you going to apply that to your life? You can't. You apply one verse like Romans 12:1-2. That takes care of everything. You take 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So if you walk daily 24/7, you don't have to walk around all day confessing. It takes care of everything. You just do that one verse, 1 John 1:7, man, you're in good shape. Amen? Don't fall asleep on me. Amen, amen, amen. I got to get back to my notes. How's your walk today? How's your fire today? You know, the fire comes from the pulpit. Jesus has a personal test for us. It's in Revelation 3:15-16. Let's turn there. It will help if you don't hear it coming from me. It will help if it goes through your eyeballs, into your head, and down to your heart. And it's a thermometer that Jesus has for us. And it is a good time to, this would be a good verse to memorize. Jesus is talking to Christian people. He's talking to churches just like this one. Maybe bigger than this, maybe smaller than this. But he's talking to me and he's talking to you. He says, I know your works. He says, I know what you're doing. I know what you're not doing. He says, I wish you was either cold or hot and not lukewarm. Okay, I shared this with with a young in the teens group the other night. If you're hot, you're hot. Amen. You're hot, you're in God's Word, you abide with Christ, you walk with Christ, you're a happy camper. You have, you're a blessed person because you have the joy and you have the happiness of Jesus Christ and Jesus' love. Amen, 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 amen. So you're hot. You're exactly where the Lord wants you. If you're cold, you could be sitting in the church, not saved, but you're in a good place to get saved. Amen?
Yeah.
And maybe you're there because mom and dad brought you there. Maybe you're there because someone else brought you there. Or maybe you think you need help. Well, you do need help, and you're in a good place. Hallelujah. But Jesus says, I wish you was either hot or cold, because you have a good chance of being where you ought to be and going to heaven. But the lukewarm thing is like I was for many years. I was saved, going to church sometimes, most of the time. I knew there was a God. I prayed to Jesus, and he answered a lot of my prayers. But I was lukewarm. I wasn't committed to him. He was not my number one, and I wasn't serving him. I was going through the motions. You know what you call that? Lukewarm. And the bad word for it is hypocrite.
Yeah.
And I was one for a long, long time, but no more. Because the Word of God, that Romans 12:2, changed my life.
Amen.
And I plan to go back until I die. I'm going to help those Spanish people that are not conformed to this world. And I pray that you folks will pray for us. And if you can't give, pray for us anyway. Because if you pray for us, the prayers of a righteous person availeth much. Well, how about a lot of prayers of a lot of righteous people? Jesus will bring in the blessings, and bring in the love offerings, and bring in the building project, and bring me the right labors. Do we have any questions for this man that's trying to put you to sleep tonight? I pray that you might memorize that verse, those two verses. And verse 16 says, so then, because thou art lukewarm, I feel like spewing you out of my mouth. That cut me deep when I read that. That made me think, you dirty, rotten hypocrite, you've been playing fussies with God. You've been playing games with God's word. I felt pretty bad. And I hope you will too, if you're in that condition. God, Jesus Christ, wants us saved and not playing games.
Yeah.
And this world is full of churches, cold churches, and the fire has won out. I pray that this word of God will set you on fire. I pray this word of God will make you make decisions, and you will not allow Satan to get the victory. You know, you cannot fool no one. You cannot fool your pastor. You cannot fool your mom or dad. You cannot fool your wife or your husband. You cannot fool anybody. You know, the fire is very evident. In the oil fields where they have natural gas, I understand that there's a fire coming out of it. When they get a leak in the gas lines, there's a fire that you cannot see. And it's so hot. The temperature is like double hotter than what normal fire is that you can see. But this fire here is a lasting fire.
Amen.
This fire here will change our lives. It has changed my life. You're looking at a miracle here. Seventh grade dropout. I did more playing hooky and working and trying to make money, and And for even years after I got saved, I was so busy making money in the construction field. I made a lot of money. You know, where'd it go? You know, all wasted. But when I got 55, the Lord got a hold of me. And he says, come and follow me. And I'm going. I thank you for your help and your love. And I pray for, I pray that you will pray for us. And you might think I'm crazy. And I don't really care what you think. I'm going to do it anyway. Thank you, Pastor. Let's bow our heads.